Agelessness Seminar, Agelessness, Lecture Number 19, Agelessness is Wholeness. Imagine, for 24 hours we're talking about agelessness. Can you imagine such a thing? And we have not run dry yet. Agelessness is Wholeness. Our topics under our lecture 19, as an absolute reference, an ageless being sees another ageless being. As an absolute reference, an ageless being does not know wholeness. As an absolute reference, an ageless being is wholeness. As an absolute reference, an ageless being is momentless. Let's consider these points here. As an absolute reference, an ageless being sees another ageless being. We say a master sees another master. We say a person who is of high consciousness sees another person of high consciousness. A person who lives in an attitude of goodness sees another good person. Now, also, a person who lives in an attitude of unhappiness sees unhappy people around them. It's just that simple. People who see anything see that around them, which is what they are. Take a look at yourself for a moment. What do you see? What do you see when you look at your life? Do you look at your life and see a life filled with beautiful responses to life? Do you see happiness? Do you see beautiful people in your world? Do you see beautiful circumstances in your world? Do you see all the activities of your world uplifting and rewarding? Do you see people coming to your side and saying to you that you are a wonderful being? Do you see people enjoying your company? Do you see yourself enjoying every single person on the face of the earth who comes to your attention? That you enjoy them? Do you see everything in the world harmonious and beautiful? Do you see all the people of the world working together as harmony and peace and joy? Do you see that? Do you see everything as a wonderful activity in life? Well, if you don't see that, then the problem that you have is that you are not that. The problem that you have is that you are that, but you have not opened your eyes to be aware of it. Now, the biggest difficulty to agelessness that's against it is feeling sorry for yourself. When you feel sorry for yourself because you have things in your life that are not harmonious for you, things that didn't go well for you, that didn't make you happy, when you feel sorry for yourself, you know what you're doing. You are empowering the very thing you feel sorry about. You are giving it power to continue and giving it power to be all that it should not be. Now, what do you want to experience in your life? We're saying agelessness is wholeness. Wholeness of what? Wholeness of mind, wholeness of peace, of mind, of spirit, of body, wholeness of all. What sort of things are you going to do? Now, I have looked at a lot of people who are aged by society standards, and they act that way. I've worked with my mother in Leisure World, and she was in Leisure World because she was old enough to be there, over 50, and in Leisure World there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people there. In fact, today it's quite a large city, a very large city, a very affluent people. So, here this wonderful Leisure World not the mausoleum, but this wonderful leisure world filled with these people. A good many of them have gone there in preparation to die, but they don't need care. They don't need to have a nurse come in constantly and so forth. They can, and they do, but they don't. And they live there. And they involve themselves in the gymnasium. They involve themselves in the swim programs. They involve themselves in golf and tennis. And they involve themselves in sex. And you say, sex? Yeah. These older people in their 70s, 80s, 90s involve themselves in their sexual relations with their wife. And they are very happy, and their husband, of course. They are very happy, and they enjoy this relationship exceedingly, and they miss it when the other goes away to visit relatives or something, you know. And one man, Harry Wanley, one of the friends of mine, we were establishing the Saddleback Junior College. He was a former superintendent of schools, of Humboldt Schools up in Northern California, and his wife was the director of the kindergartens in these schools. And it's quite an adventure. Put his tail on the other side of you, Ellen. Have him stand up. Have him stand up. Have him stand up. And put his tail end around the other way. Rex is a dog here of over 90 pounds. And Rex likes to lay, Ellen, he likes to lay on his back. And when he lays on his back, then he likes to roll. And when he rolls over everybody and everything in the neighborhood. And it makes for an interesting situation. Now, Ellen is not listening to me.
I couldn't get him up there.
We will make a pause here, and then we will get him up for you, and that should be something very interesting. And I don't know how I make a pause here so that I can keep on going later, because this doesn't have the stuff that the other thing has, which had a pause on it.
Okay, so now what should I do?
Turn him around. Now sit him down. And get his tail end beyond your chair. Up, stand.
So I get him more back.
Get him more back, yeah.
Come here.
All right, now get his head just where your chair is. Now there. Now have him sit down.
Good.
Stay. Now you sit down and keep him next to you. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Rex, hey, are you okay? Just lay this way. Pull him this way a little bit. That's it. That's just perfect. Now, he'll be very content. And if he rolls, he'll roll behind you.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. Okay. Agelessness is something that we have talked about a lot and we would like to experience in our life a lot. But how do we get to agelessness? How do we get to agelessness? We get to agelessness like Harry Wandling. He was about 89 or 88, 89, and his wife was about 87, and she died. And he sorely missed the relationship between his wife and himself after a couple weeks. And so he noticed the lady next door, and he went over to the lady next door and said, you know, can't we be friends? Can't we have a relationship? And she says, sure, why not? And she says, I'm not interested in getting married. I have grandchildren, and I've got the wills all done. And he said, well, I'm not either. And so they just had their relationship together. Now, you see, they're ageless. They're ageless. They still are drawn in by the needs of the body and the desires of the body. And because they're drawn in by the needs and desires of the body, they are unable to live in the true ageless aspect of all. And that becomes a problem. So I think that in the future, we will keep the dogs somewhere else than here. Okay?
Okay.
They are distracting. So agelessness is something that is really a lot of fun when you get to it. Harry Wanley would say he was ageless. He lived on to 97 or so. before he decided to step over to his next dimension. And he was just always a very dynamic, vital fellow. And I was his sidekick, and we did many beautiful things together. So, as an absolute reference, an ageless being sees another ageless being. Harry Wanley saw everyone else in his world as another ageless being. He saw me as an ageless being, and I was a younger man. And my mother was his age, and they played cards together, and I would play with them in the evenings, and we'd have canasta and all the various things that you play and do. And it was quite an interesting evening, a little boring for me at times because I had other things that I wanted to do. But it made Mother happy, and so I was happy to be there. Now, we see another ageless being. I saw all these people around me as young, dynamic beings, even though they were in their late 70s and early 80s, if not late 80s, and doing just fine, you know? And they were acting young, they were acting vital, they were acting dynamic, they were acting beautiful, they were acting totally different. Now, these people that I lived with, not lived with, but I shared with, as I would come down from my home in Newport Beach, and I would be with them, and what sort of people were they? They were people who were not sick. They were people who had money. There were people who had friends. There were people who were enjoying life. There were people who were writing books yet. There were people who were doing all sorts of things that were exciting. There were people who went to the gymnasium. There were people who drove their own car. There were people who went out to the local clubs. I was in the Saddleback Valley Chamber of Commerce, and I was in the Saddleback Valley Toastmasters Club, and the Saddleback Valley, another group that was there. And I held offices in all these clubs. And these people were active in all of them. And as they would go to them, they would just have a ball. Now, these people, erect, down, sit, stay. Down. These people did not act as some people think that people of that age should act. They acted young, dynamic, wonderful, whole, and beautiful. And they lived this way all their life. Until they were ready to move on, they lived in healthy bodies. They didn't need medicines, and they didn't need doctors, and they didn't need hospitals. And the ambulance never came and called at their door like it did at the doors of so many around there. They lived in this attitude of wholeness, and they saw everyone else like that. Now, they could have had other people come into their group, but they didn't. They only had people come into their group who were like they were, who were ageless like they were, who were whole like they were. They associated with people who were of their own experience, who were of their own direction of mind. And they retained this youthfulness, I don't want to say youthfulness, but agelessness. They retained this agelessness into a very late number of years in their life. And that was beautiful. Now, if I knew now what I knew then, I would talk to them on some of these areas, and they would have lived even longer. Because today, science is telling us that our age is going to be extended by another 10, 20 years. And that as the year 2026 comes along, we'll be extending another 50 years to our life. Can you imagine that? 50 years to our life. And that's the average person. Now, why is that so? It is so because we are involved in life. We are ageless. We are not thinking about age. We're thinking about being active in things and being active in doing things. Now, you look at the President of the United States, and you look at Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan was in his late 70s. I'm not sure whether he was in his 80s or not, but he's in his late 70s, and he was president and up for re-election. Up for re-election in his late 70s, and he was just as vital as can be. No, he'd get a little drowsy, he'd fall asleep now and then, but they didn't know that he had Alzheimer's disease. You know, they didn't know that he had this because it was in the early stages, and so they had nothing to blame it on. They just blamed, he's just an old man falling asleep, you know. But he wasn't. He was vital, alive. He made one of the most marvelous presidents during his terms of office that this country has known of a president, because he was just a good man. Now, you look at Brezhnev, you look at Gorbachev, you look at many of the rulers of other countries, and this guy who is the wealthy King Farouk, remember? King Farouk, I believe is his name. He was weighed by gold and stuff like that, and his presence. Well, he lived to be a very aged man himself, in his 80s, I believe, in his late 80s, and he was still ruling his country and his people in that late 80s. And his nephew, who was the last one left of his line, his own children died out and so forth, he ended up taking over, and he was in his late 70s. And yet he's enjoying it, and he's enjoying this abundance of wealth, which he didn't need because he had an exceedingly great amount of wealth already, billions of dollars. So you see, age does not have anything to do with our lifestyle. One of the senators from the South was in his 90s, and he was still reelected to office because he did such a good job. He was so alert, he was so awake, he was so vital, and he was ageless. He was ageless, and the people knew that whatever he spoke his word for, he knew all the channels to go through to accomplish it, to bring it about. He was ageless. He didn't let his years bother him in the slightest. Now, we can certainly take these symbols or these examples as something powerful for us to consider too, to be ageless with. We don't need to have age just because we have years. And we don't need to be less than ageless because we don't have the years. Whether we are in our early years on this planet Earth, or our late years on this planet Earth, or mid-years, it makes no difference. Whatever is our attitude about ourselves, this is our age. This is what our agelessness. Whatever is our attitude about ourselves. What is your attitude about yourself? Is your attitude that you can do anything? Now, I asked you all to get up and dance and run and jump, and some of you did it with great joy and great enthusiasm, and others did it a little reluctantly, but you did it. And some of you even surprised yourself at how wonderful you did it. And Ellen says, ow, but she doesn't push him away, because she just loves it that he gives her that attention. She hasn't had that much attention from a man for a long time. But that's okay, Ellen. He's 2 years old. She runs around with an ageless crowd here. But this is wonderful what we do with our life and how we think. Now, an absolute reference, an ageless being does not know wholeness. Now, Harry Wandling and his friends didn't know wholeness. They had no idea about health or about sickness or about any of these things. Oh, they knew it took place around them, but they did not participate in it. They would spend an evening playing cards together with their friends or doing other things of that nature, or going to club meetings and being involved in the community. And like Harry and I were establishing the Saddleback Junior College down there in Laguna Hills, and we were the foundation of it, and today Saddleback Junior College covers just acres and acres and acres of land there. It's one of the finest junior colleges. I think it's no longer a junior college. It's a full college serving Southern California. So he was just active as could be. And I was with him in all these things, and happily part of the whole thing. It was kind of exciting. You see, when you're ageless and you're whole and perfect, you live in that attitude. Now, Dorothea here likes to tell us that she doesn't take any pills. She doesn't take anything, maybe a vitamin or two now and then, but why doesn't she take pills? She has an attitude of wholeness. Everything Dorothea does is an attitude of wholeness. She gets into her little red Jeep. Can you imagine her in a little red Jeep? She's old enough to have seen the first horse and buggy, you know. But she gets into her little red Jeep, and when she gets in there and starts out, she comes to a stop sign, looks both ways with the alertness of a child, which she is, and sees the traffic is not there, and zoom, she's on her way. And she's decisive and a positive and a dynamic driver. She does everything with precision and decision, and she accomplishes these with her agelessness. But of course, this can be only done when you like yourself, when you believe in yourself, when you associate yourself with other ageless people. She has some of the children from her mausoleum come in and talk to her in her house occasionally, and they'll say, "Dorothea, why are you running around naked in your house?" And Dorothea says, "I feel like it." She says, "I'm just a young spring chicken." And they say, "Well, you look like it, but you shouldn't be doing this in this old house here." And Dorothea says, "Mind your own business. Mind your own business." And everybody else, she doesn't run around naked all the time, but she probably would like to. But everybody else that she talks to delights in the fact that she is an independent person who does her own thing and walks her own way and is her own person. You see, when we are spiritually illumined, we do that. When we are ageless beings, we do that. When we are people who know who we are, we walk our own way, and we don't pay attention to what other people think that we should do or what other people think is right and decorum for us to do. You know how that goes. Because the moment we start thinking, what is the right thing for a person like my age and my position in life to do, what should I do? Well, then you're in trouble. Life ceases to be a joy. Life ceases to be a thrill, a fun, an exciting adventure. We would go down to the beach with our motorhome, and we would be up visiting my son or at his airport, and we would come back, and we would stop at the beach on the way home. And as we stopped at Carmel Beach, it was night, and the lights were all out every place, and we parked right near the beach. And so Ingeborg took her towel and ran down. I don't think she had a swimming suit with her, but she took her towel wrapped around her, ran down to the beach, and went into the ocean and just had a great time. And she was in her late 70s at the time. Or Ellen, you got a problem? All right, she was in her late 60s. She was in her late 20s. What were you in your late? But anyhow. And she ran into the ocean and swam around, just had a great old time, came out, and someone had taken her towel. Someone had walked along the beach and found the towel and said, "Hey, nobody wants this towel, I'm going to take it." And they took her big beach towel, and so she had to walk back to the motorhome naked through the parking lot at night. But it didn't bother her, and nobody said anything to her, and she didn't say anything to anybody. And she came in the motorhome, said, "You got a towel?" And she dried off. But you see, this is an indomitable spirit. This is the type of attitude that you want to be, that you're untouchable. You do your own thing, and you have a ball, and you live a harmonious, fantastic life. Now, speaking of being naked, we had Anita Kuhn here, and she was with us up at Mount Shasta, and it was the dead of winter. In fact, the snowdrifts outside were 4 or 5 feet thick or deeper, weren't they? They were pretty heavy. And so she decided she was going to go out naked into the snow. And she went out there. I think she had her shoes on. At least I hope she didn't. She had her shoes on, and she was gone for 20 minutes. And it was at zero temperature. And so I sent Gregor. I said, "Go find that girl. Bring her in here, you know." And he went out, and he found her, and she was singing and dancing and walking back to the motorhome, just as happy as could be, because she was warmed by an inner fire. And she was just so thrilled to be so free and to be open to be doing what she did. And when she came into the motorhome, she didn't immediately cuddle up to the fire or, you know, jump into some warm clothes. She just casually got herself dressed and got herself ready to enjoy the evening with the rest of us. You see, When you are ageless, you can do that. When you are ageless, that those things happen. They say, well, when you're older, be careful. Your toes can freeze and you don't know it, and things can happen and you don't know it. That's not true. That's only true if you have given up on living. An ageless person has not given up on living. An ageless person is a person who is always looking for something sparkling and wonderful and exciting to take place in their life. I took them to Mount Shasta, and I told them of some of the secret entrances into Mount Shasta, of the spiritual places there that were there. And most of them didn't find it. And you know why they didn't find it? Because they didn't like themselves. They went out there, and the first thing they said is, "Brr, it's cold." Anita went out there and said, "Ah, I feel accelerated." Anita found places. Anita found spiritual sites, and a few others did too, but most didn't, because they found only the temperature. They found only the snow. They found only the normal conditions of the earth itself. You know, we met one man, I think he's probably alone, and he came down from the top of the mountain. He'd spent a couple of days up there. And when he came down, he was telling us about his adventure and how he had been sleeping in a cave up on the top of the mountain, Mount Shasta, and the experiences that he had up there and the visions that he had and the dreams that he had. And poof, it was quite something, quite something. You say, well, that's all illusion. Well, I'd like to go up and have an illusion like that too. I think that would be kind of great. I should be such an imaginative, delightful, fantastic person. Of course, I am. That's why I understand it. But this is what we all can do. We can all open our inner soul to the adventure and go for it and have a lot of fun doing it. Because it's great. It's really great. It's where we all are. Now, as an absolute reference, an ageless being sees another being, ageless being. We can all see other ageless beings. Now, it doesn't mean they're years ageless. It means they're spirit ageless. They are happy with themselves. They are fulfilled with themselves. They delight in their own company. They delight in their own attitudes and ways of doing things. I know as I went down the Colorado River in the canoe with my son Mark, it was so wonderful because we had all the liquor in our canoe and we weren't interested in it, but we had it all in our canoe and we were canoeing along. All the rest of the people had the food and the other things in their canoe and they were way behind us. And we zipped along down the Colorado River, just enjoying ourselves, singing away, and we were not bothered by bugs, we were not bothered by anything. We were making our own agelessness. We were making our own community of who we were. And then when the rest of the group caught up, they brought with them all the bugs and all of the problems and the flies and mosquitoes and stuff like that. But it still didn't bother us because we didn't have that in our consciousness. Now, you can do that too. You can do that too, wherever you go. Ellen went to see Sai Baba in India, and she went to the ashram, and at the ashram, she saw all of the ways in which she conducted the ashram. And she thought to herself, now, what beneficial things can I learn here for conducting the ashram that we have on campus? How can I take ideas from these people and how wonderfully they are doing things and bring it to Campbell, bring it here to our monastery itself? And as she experienced it, however wonderful it was, she saw the very same things that we experienced on campus. She saw personality clashes in the kitchen. She saw personality clashes out on the cleaning up their yards and cleaning up the grounds, and how some people felt they were superior to other people because they were asked by Sai Baba himself to do different things, whereas others were just asked by Sai Baba's helpers to do things. And so all of these attitudes went on and on and on. And Ellen noticed that one of the big problems of all these people attending that function was very few, if any of them, knew what Sai Baba was talking about. And that Sai Baba, in all of his lectures, in all of his sharing, in all of his being with the people, would say, you are divine, you are God, you are the creator of your world, create it beautifully, create it wonderfully, be master of yourself, the very things that we share. But he shared it with these people who were not used to it. These were people who wanted other people to live their life for them. And because of that, it was not a beneficial thing. So Ellen left somebody else's dream to them and came and created our own dream here on the campus of the University of Healing and the Absolute Monastery. You see, you cannot live another person's dream. You have to live your own. Now, Ellen has gone through 2,000 or 3,000 rules for campus, and some were good, some weren't good, some were this, some were that, and she went through all these rules. And if she had tried to follow somebody else's game, she'd try to do their rules, which didn't fit being here in this Western community. And so she even has rules that don't always fit. And so she rewrites them and reorganizes them and reprograms them and replans them. Because what she's doing is she's being her ageless self. She is not limited by anything that anybody else says or does or is. She follows the divine within her, and then she talks to me sometimes too. And we discuss some of the things that are going on and some of the things that are beneficial. But surround yourself with people who are like yourself. You do it anyhow. Surround yourself with people who believe like you do. Surround yourself with people who have the same direction in life that you do. Now you say, well, wouldn't it be much more interesting to surround myself with people who have a different direction, because then I would be inspired to go their direction, inspired to think their thoughts? Well, if you are talking about a human thing, it might be interesting. But we're not talking about a human thing. We're talking about one thing, and that's called principle. There is no way of looking at principle that is different. Principle is just principle. And if you say, I want them to feel good, then that's the wrong principle. I want them to gain something from being here at the monastery. That's not the principle. I want them to do their part here at the monastery. That's not principle. I want them to cooperate and contribute and do things to the monastery. That's not principle. The only thing that is principle is to be yourself and have fun. The only thing that is principle is to know why you're here. What is your purpose in being on earth? What is your purpose in being? Are you a divine being? Are you an unlimited being? Are you a spiritually illumined being? Are you ready to be that? No. That is our purpose. That is our goal. That is our direction. Now, anything else is secondary to that. Anything else is not important. It's not important what we do. It's not important whether we close the door or that we open it. It's not important if we put the dishes away. It's not important to do these things. The only important thing is to be ourselves and have fun. Now, if the monastery has a program, then we follow the program. And I think it would be wise not to call the program rules, but the program. And the program is, if you open it, close it. The program is what we call rules. Rules have a way of being an anathema to people. They find it very touching to their personality, and they don't like it at all. And not that it matters, because the program isn't for them, it's for us. So when we make the program what it is that we want everyone to achieve, being here in the Absolute Monastery, then great things happen. Now that is just one illustration. It's an illustration that's close to our hearts, because we're experiencing it this week and next, and we're having a good time. What is it that you really want to do when you come to the Absolute Monastery? And that, as an absolute reference, an ageless being does not know wholeness. When you come to the Absolute Monastery, do you come here because you want to know wholeness? Do you come here because you want to to find a new way of looking at life? Do you come here because you want to find a new school that opens up your thought and makes you feel that your life can be worthwhile? I know this is something that Ingeborg sort of looked forward to, and that Dorothea looked forward to, and Ellen looked forward to, and Gertrude looked forward to, and Lydia looked forward to, and Sylvia looked forward to, and I could go around with all of our monks. They all came here looking for something that was going to embellish their spiritual life, embellish their physical human life in every way. And none of them found it. None of them found it here. But they did find it in themselves. They found in themselves this quality that they were looking for outwardly. And because they found it within themselves, then they began to apply it. When Dorothea came here, she says, "Oh, this is what I've been looking for a long time, you know, and you guys teach just what I believe." And we said, "Super." And then we showed her some more things. We showed her the coursework. We showed her some more attitudes that she could have if she wanted to embellish her life. And she said, "Well, I'm old enough, I just am happy being my spiritual self, I'm happy walking the path the way I am." And I said, "Great." So then, what did she do? She began attending our lectures. And as she attended our lectures, what happened to her? As she attended the lectures, what happened was that she began to see that there was more depth that she could have for herself. There was more inner awareness that she could reveal. There was more wholeness virtually in her life that she could know. And she began to apply it with some of her relatives. And as she applied it with her relatives, it worked. And then she began to apply it with her people who lived in her complex. And as these people in their various condominiums would talk to her, she would speak to them from her divine center, which she always knew how to do, but she didn't always do because it was more normal to talk as a human being to another human being. And then she began seeing those people loved her and they came to her often, and those who didn't understand and were not on her awareness level drifted away and were no longer in her world. And she didn't feel bad because they were gone, or she didn't feel good because they were gone. She only felt good in herself because she was living and practicing what she believed. As an absolute reference, an ageless being is wholeness. Now, is that true? We're wholeness? That's kind of an exciting adventure to be wholeness, isn't it? Yeah. Think about that. You are wholeness. Now, what does it mean to be wholeness? To be whole means you have everything, mentally, physically, and spiritually. To be whole means that there's nothing more that needs to be added to your life. You are, right now, mentally, spiritually, and physically, whole and perfect, and fulfilled, and fulfilled. Would you ever go looking for wholeness if you were experiencing it already? No. Would you ever go looking for wholeness if that was your nature? No. Would you ever expect other people to experience wholeness?
No.
You would not expect them to. You'd see them whole and perfect. Because you look out of your eyes, and what you look out of your eyes is what you see. That's what you see, and that's what you are. It's a wonderful thing. Can you do that at all times? Sure. Have you been doing that all of your life? You've been doing it from the point of view of what you believed for yourself. You believed that illness was a natural thing. You believed that sickness was a natural thing. You believed that it was natural to be hungry. It was natural to want to have a house and to live in and clothes to wear and friends. Oh, friends were so important. As we grew up, how important were our friends? My goodness. If we didn't have friends, life was meaningless to us. No. This is what we don't need to do. As an absolute reference, an ageless being is wholeness. an ageless being is the one that others claim as a friend. The ageless person doesn't claim anyone as a friend, because the ageless person outlives them. Now, tonight, before we go to bed, we're going to see a movie, and it's called Tuck.
Say it. Tuck Everlasting.
Tuck Everlasting. I want you to see it because it tells you the story of a young family who found the elixir, which was the fountain of life, the fountain of youth, the fountain of eternal youth. And the experiences that they had were less than salubrious, less than beneficial, because in it, I want you to see it, in it, they are ageless. And truly, they are ageless. So, we will see that. What are we having for supper?
Spaghetti.
What?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
If I don't change it.
Ellen?
Yeah.
What was your statement?
I said.
What was your statement?
Okay, forget it.
What was your statement?
If I wouldn't change it.
Oh, spaghetti?
Yeah, because let's have spaghetti.
Oh, that's right, you're the cook. Well, I was just thinking we could take our spaghetti into the TV room and we could watch it while we're eating our spaghetti.
We can eat anything in there.
Yeah, well, whatever you choose.
Yeah.
But what I think is, what we should do is after we're done here, forthwith to go in and see it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, no, I don't follow you. You said before we would take the food with us in
what?
We would take the food with us in the TV.
That's the point. Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
Or should we eat it after we see the movie?
No, that's...
Too late.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, how long does it take you to make the spaghetti?
Half an hour.
Okay. Then, the minute we're done here, you scoot over there and make the spaghetti. And then by the time we all get over there, it'll be ready, right? Okay, super. I want you to see this because it is a symbolic movie. All of you have seen Bleep except you, and you'll see it. But this is a symbolic movie in keeping with our agelessness, in keeping with our totality of this seminar. And I want you to see it not because it's right or wrong, or the things they do are good or right or bad, but because it represents an attitude that can be, and it can really be, and the place wherein this fountain dwelt can really exist. And of course it does, right in here. And it's an experience that I think can be very beneficial to all of us. Okay. Now, we will go on here. An absolute reference on agelessness is momentless. What is momentless? There is no moment. There is no moment of any time. There is no moment of any attitude, no moment of any experience. Momentless. Momentless is when we are living in the now. There is no second, no instant. There is no time. There is no space. Momentless. It's without a moment. Can you conceive that?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. But can you conceive conceiving it? Can you conceive conceiving it? Okay. So, think about it as an idea. Now think about it as this movie you're going to see in a short while. And you're going to see this movie and it is going to waken in your mind an interesting concept. Do you want agelessness as they experienced it? And then I want you to see the movie, and when the movie's over, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you, what could they have done to make this a universal blessing for everybody? What could they have done to make this an ageless universal condition for themselves and everyone in their world. What could they have done to had it be a happy experience for them rather than a rather sad experience? It wasn't tragic, tragic perhaps, but it was more sad. Now, I want you to think of it in that light, because when you think of it in that light, what you're going to do, you're going to come up with an idea of what we have been sharing with you in this seminar so far. We have shared with you in this seminar so far that you're the creator of your world, and that all of your choices are whatever you have created, and you see whatever you are. You see whatever you are. Now, these are things we're going to listen to, think about, hear, and know. And that's part of the game we're going to play. What's his first name?
Tuck.
Tuck. Tuck Everlasting. You'll enjoy it. So with that, let us come to the conclusion for this hour and realize that we have done some beautiful things here. We have started and stopped a number of times because of our guests, and that's part of the game of life. And our listeners who hear this will think to themselves, was this put on for the dogs? And of course, we love our dogs, so that yes, it was put on for the dogs. So, our next lecture will be chapter 20, and it is entitled, Agelessness is Perfection. So we will have a very good time. Now, if necessary, we can continue our last lecture on to Sunday. And that way we are not pushed or rushed, and we are much more comfortable in this, because I'm stuffing a lot into you, whether you realize it or not.
Oh, yeah. We know.
Oh, you know.
Nice.
Okay. Okay. All right. I love you very much. And Sylvia, will you take care of the goodies here to put everything in order?
So let me go with agelessness in the new year. Yeah.